We're so glad you joined us today. There is so much that God wants to do in and through you, and we want to hear about it. Please take a moment to share your story with us at amen@thrivealamance.com. If you would like to contribute financially to this ministry, you can do so at thrivealamance.com/give.
So I was in this place. So we went on a trip this past week, and man, the Lord just let me learn so much. And it was funny because I was one of the precursors for my family going into this trip was I was not allowed to talk about church. And that's, now that's not God, that's church, because you've got to understand, I'm not a fun person to be around all the time. It's not because I don't think I'm fun. I've got two things working against me. One, I'm getting older, so most of my jokes look like old dude jokes. It gets old. I make songs out of everything. Oh, no, it's bad. Getting on an elevator. Going to eat some yummy food. Going to get up and leave. Because it's all prepaid. Wait, it gets better. Do, 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 do. Okay, that's old dude jokes, okay? Like... There's a commercial out. Make me a hamburger. Poof, you're a hamburger. Ha ha. See, it's those kind of things. It's old. The other thing that I do is I can't go into any environment without figuring out how I can twist it into something about this place. So, like, we took a cruise, and I won't tell you what cruise line we went on, but do 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 do. Anyway. Ha ha ha. It wasn't a circus. It was a carnival. Anyway. So we went on this cruise, and it was fun, and enjoyed being with my family. But I'm the type of person that when we go to see a show, I'll be like, ooh, we could put those lights in at the church, and we could, ooh, we need one, right? So I was forbidden from my family from doing that. Matter of fact, only once did I bring it up, and my wife has this way of looking at me without saying anything. I just sucked it up. I made mental notes, so they're all going to come out over the next couple of weeks. But I saw a bunch of people on the boat, and I figured something out. Not everybody wears things that fit. No, no, no. See, instantaneous, you went to itty-bitty, teeny-weeny. No, sometimes it's the other way. I saw somebody walk. This is no, it was 157,000. Now, there was a lot of itty-bitty, teeny-weeny that should not have been. I'm talking about the things that nightmares are made out of. But there was also some people that came out. This one girl came out in jogging pants and a hoodie around her head in the Caribbean. She wasn't sunburned. I know where you're going. It was fleece lined. And I'm sitting here going, that was not made for that. That was not, and then I saw other people wearing stuff, and I won't go into detail on what it was, but I was like, that was not made for that. It was no. And I saw people doing things that I'm like, you were not created to do that. You just weren't. And I went to this place, and it really is, it, for me, it's a spiritual place, and there, I figured out that there's some things that you weren't made for. This isn't a wardrobe thing, in case you're wondering. This isn't about like what to wear and what. I mean, that's, the Lord will work that out for you, I promise. I don't need to. But Gina, I'd like for you to put this on. It'll be okay. I mean, it's just going on social media where everybody and their brother can see it. Don't worry about it. You're. But yeah. You came up when I asked for a volunteer. Yeah, just put it on. Have you ever noticed that if something's not made for you, it'll never fit? There's some stuff that goes on in your world that you were never made for. And the problem is that when you try to make something, if you ever try to make something work, I did something this, I can't even believe I'm getting ready to confess this. So I've got on black chucks, like my retro 80 whitewashed jeans, right? Some black shirt, right? And that's pretty in fashion. I mean, as close as I'm going to get at my age. But I did something. I did it on purpose. I wore my brown belt. Well, yeah, all the men in here are going,
okay.
You're supposed to, ladies, help me out just for a second. What color belt should I have worn? But thank you, because you don't wear black and brown with this particular ensemble. Matter of fact, when my family helped me pick it out, they specifically told me, probably for a reason. Now, Dad, honey, when you wear this, no brown belt. So don't pull the brown belt off the khaki shorts you tend to wear through the week. Go to the black belt. But see, what happens is, had I not have showed you, you would have never known that there was something going on in my wardrobe that didn't fit. See, some people have things that fit that are going on in their life that don't fit that you'll never see. But you can't figure out why they're so uncomfortable. You can't figure out why. Before this, Gina was very comfortable in what she had on. But when I put her, Gina being 100 nothing pounds, in a 3XL Thrive t-shirt. See, the problem with this is that t-shirt was never made to fit Gina. Are you tracking with where I'm going now? You can have a seat. You can take that off too. You don't have to do it on stage. I'll let you do it in the privacy of the wing there. But 1 Samuel 17, 32 through 40 is where my scripture text for today will come out of. 1 Samuel chapter 17, 32 through 40. It's going to be a very familiar story. It's actually in context is the story of David and Goliath. And the problem with this story is everybody wants to talk about David and they want to talk about Goliath, but there were some other things that went on that had to do with who David was and how David chose to operate. And what you have to understand is there are just so many things that you weren't made for. They're never going to fit you no matter how hard you try. Have you ever noticed that when you try to sin, it just doesn't work for you? When we were youth pastors, we had a kid in our youth group who was a habitual. I mean, he had more felonies than I had traffic tickets by the time he graduated. As a matter of fact, he helped steal a church van, which is not really a start to your life that you want. And if you're going to steal a car, don't steal one that has a logo on the side of it. And I was counseling with this guy, and I said, can I talk to you just for a second? And I'm not even going to talk to you about Scripture. I just want to talk to you about you. You need to quit being a criminal because you can't not get caught. And if you're a criminal who always gets caught, it just means you're a bad criminal. Like, you're not even like a good criminal. Like, you're not a good, bad person. You're just bad at it. Like, you can't pull it up. Have you ever seen somebody that tries to lie and they can't? I've got a friend of mine that every time he tries to say something in jest to lie, he laughs. He's like, "Hey, dude, somebody stole your car." Okay, I took it. I moved it. Right? And I'm like, dude, just don't even try to be that comedian, right? Because you're bad at it. Like, have you ever known somebody that can't tell a good joke? They're like, okay, so this dog walks into an establishment where you have to be a certain age. And wait. He was a three-legged dog. He was a three-legged brown dog that walked into the... It was a restaurant, because you can't say bar in church. It was a restaurant that he walked into, this three-legged dog. And he walked up and he sat on a... Well, it wasn't a seat. It was a booth. It was a bar. He sat at a bar. And he looked at the bartender or the waitress and he said... I'm looking for the man who shot my leg. No, that shot my paw. Some of y'all actually got that, which was not the point of it. The original says, the three-legged dog walks in and says, "I'm looking for the man who shot my paw." And it's funny. But if you try to add all the details, in theory, it's not funny. But some of you are so analytical, you wanted to get the joke and you missed the message. It's okay. I should have known. There's those people in every. They got people going, "Sorry, Pastor, but I'll remember it." And so what happens is this: is that there are things that you're not created for. They don't fit you. And if you try to operate in them, they'll only bring you pain and they'll only bring you misery because you were never made to do them. 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning in 32. I'll go 32, somewhere near 40. And then David said to Saul, now Saul was the king at the time, and David was some little teenage boy getting ready to fight Goliath. Because God will always call you to fight things that you feel like you can't win. And that oftentimes when you begin to fight things that you feel like you can't win is the minute that you turn to things that were never made for you. We get married, and marriages always bring strife. It's not a bad thing. It's just two people that live in the same house. I had four sisters growing up. We fought all the time. It wasn't because we didn't love each other, but we lived together. We get married and expect not to get on each other's nerves, but we live together all the time. And then we have children, and we think, remember when you first got ready to have kids, and it's like the baby showers. Oh, you're going to be such great parents. And then you quit sleeping for like 7 years. And then you get snippy with each other. And then sometimes you even get snippy with your kids, which makes you feel twice as bad. But you forget that you're living with them all the time. And while you love them, they get on your nerves. And I know where your last nerve is, because my wife would look at me and tell me that me and Brandon were on her last nerve. You have pushed my nerve endings till you found the end of it. It's like being on the internet. Oh, I'm done now, right? I mean, you have exhausted all the nerves in her body. We forget that there are some things that we weren't made for. You were not made for strife. You were not made for anger. You weren't made for division. You weren't made, because when we go back and look at the context of where we were made, beginning in Genesis, we were made to walk with God. People who don't walk with God are always miserable, because it takes them to a place that they were never created. It asks them to wear a lifestyle that's never going to fit. We wonder why anger and bitterness and unforgiveness wear on us so hard. It's because you're asking us to put on something that doesn't fit and fight a battle that's bigger than what we are. So David is getting ready to fight Goliath, and Saul is the king. And David is said to Saul, it said, and then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine. See, what happens is oftentimes what God is looking for is somebody who's not equipped to overcome, but is equipped to fight. David, of everybody on the battlefield, was the least qualified. But see, the problem is that God doesn't use the qualified. God qualifies those who are willing to be used. So if you're like, well, I will do this when I get a little bit more mature in the faith, I'll pray more. No, if you start praying more, you'll get more mature in the faith. If you start working on your marriage while it inhales profusely, it'll start getting better. If you start working on your attitudes and your actions and your faith, then your situation will change, not the other way around. Because what God is not looking for is somebody who's already got it figured out. He's just looking for somebody who's willing to fight. And he said, your servant will go and fight the Philistine. Verse 33, and it said, "And Saul," now I want you to watch what Saul says back to David. You're not able to do this. You'll always know the voice of the enemy when it says you can't. You can't have a good marriage. You've argued too long. You can't find anybody. You've waited too long. You can't have breakthrough. Look how long you've been in this season. Look how old you are. Look how young you are. Look how this you are. Look how that you are. You can always hear the voice of your enemy, because it sounds like an accusation. If you want to know if it's God or if it's the devil, listen to the rhythm and the countenance of what it says. God very few times says no and stops there. Most of the time God says no, don't do that, but do this. The enemy will always say you can't. Does that make sense? Look at when Peter would do things wrong. Peter would say, you know, something stupid. And then Jesus would go, Peter, you know, if you live with the sword, you're going to die with the sword. Put your sword away and, right? Because God has never been your accuser. He's your champion. He's your cheerleader. So Saul looks at David and says, you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth. And he is a man of war from his youth. Never let your time in the fight dictate your energy for the fight. Does that make sense? if you're here and you're going through something, or you're listening to this on podcast, or you're watching it online, you're like, Pastor, I'm going through something, but I don't know if this is for me. The fact that you're even having that battle in your mind means that it's for you. Does that make any sense? Because that's what we do. We sit there and go, man, I have people tell me all this time, it's like you were talking just to me, but then I thought, my neighbor down the street needs to hear it. Do you know my rebuttal to that is always? Well, one, just tell them about it. They can watch it on Instagram or tell them to pull up the podcast. But two, you're here. So if you're here, maybe it's for you first. You know the weirdest thing about every message is God spanks and corrects and shapes me with them before I ever get to preach them. I mean, anyway, I'm going to go on. So it says this. It says, but David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or bear came and took a lamb for the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose against me, I caught it by its beard and I struck and killed it. Dude, I like David. And your servant has killed both a lion and a bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine, let me stop before I get to the uncircumcised Philistine because David done got me excited. Can I read this real slow to you like I read it when I do it myself? It says this, but David said, your servant has kept his father's sheep. David said, look, before I ever came out here to kill a champion, I just did what I was asked to do. I mean, I just parked cars and opened doors. I just greeted visitors and did hospitality. I just worked in the nursery and hung out in children's church. I was just a youth leader. I was just a youth volunteer. I just played on the worship team. I just sang. Let me tell you what I just did. I was just faithful. You know what I did before stuff started getting bad? I just got up and I read the word. I got up and I prayed. I wasn't trying to be something. I just was being who God called me to be. Let me tell you something. If being who you're supposed to be and who God created you to be is not enough for what you feel like you're supposed to do, it's a good indication you're not supposed to do it. If you're trying to date somebody and change so that they'll like you, this is just free for teenagers. Move on. Now, if they bring out better things in you, okay. But if you've got to change to be with them, move along. That was free information. I like this. It said, but when a lion or bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it. You know, this rascal David been picking fights with the devil since the beginning. You know, my daddy put me over this, and you took one of them, so I'm coming after you. I like this next line. Watch this. And when it rose against me, if you gave back what the Lord promised me peacefully, I just took the lamb back and all was good. But if I felt like me and the devil were about to fight, I love this line. I caught it by its beard. Anyway, maybe I'm on my own. I went out after it and delivered lamb from its mouth. When it rose up against me, I caught it by its beard. I struck it. I beat it. And I killed it. I like this next line. Your servant has killed both a lion and a bear. Now, you got to understand, he told him what he couldn't do based on this guy being a man of war from his youth. He said, boy, let me tell you something. But in his heart, he was saying, boy. Because he's kind of talking down to the king in this statement, right? Which is not something you're supposed to do, but in this context, it's absolutely acceptable. He said, let me tell you something. When I felt like I was right and something came against what it was, I went after it. Jesus said it this way, the kingdom of God suffered violence and the violent take it by force. If you want a good marriage, go take it. I'm not talking about like randomly picking a woman up off the street and calling her your bride. I feel like I need to put an asterisk on this, right? Like, don't get a paneled van and a puppy. This isn't, like, if you want a kid, don't go to the park and just randomly pick one up, okay? There are laws against that. This church is not condoning that. We're not advocating it. But what I'm saying is, rather than spending your time fighting with your spouse, what if you fought for peace? I'm working on this one. Because sometimes I'm more interested in being right than I am being at peace. Man, I had y'all amen to me when I was talking about arguing. I start talking about peace and everybody starts looking at their watch. I'm more interested in raising a child up in the way that they should go than I am being popular with my children. I'm more interested in walking in integrity than I am getting the promotion at work. Are you tracking with it? So what I do is when I find something that's against what I feel like the Lord does, I go off and I kill it. I mean, you want me to take it on home? I can. When I'm listening to that song or looking at that web page and I know that it's wrong, I just kill it. When I get ready to talk about it and I know that I shouldn't, I just kill it. If you haven't had to kill a conversation this week, you don't get the context of this scripture. If you haven't started looking at your spouse going, hey, did you hear? Never mind, I don't even need to talk about that. And then them going, what? And you're like, look, what? If I finish this, I'm going to sin. Stop. Let me kill this thing. If you didn't have an opportunity to do somebody wrong and chose to do right, then you don't have the context of this scripture. And again, I'm not saying that I'm perfect in this, but what I'm saying is that when I understand that there's a lion out there, then I at least understand who I'm fighting. So that when my Goliath comes, that you can only kill your Goliath after you've killed your lion and your bear. Does that make sense? You got to kill some smaller, so you got to work up the food chain. It's like this. Ladies, you remember when you first got married? And I had a sister, this is no joke, I had a sister that burned instant oatmeal one time. Do you know what it takes to make instant oatmeal? I grew up, I'm a child of the 70s and 80s. We boiled water and you put the pack in. That's it. 3 minutes later, you had oatmeal. Let's go through the steps. Boil water, rip pack open, pour said pack in, stir it a couple of times. 3 minutes later, dump it into a bowl. You have oatmeal. One of our sisters boiled water, put said pack in, left kitchen. Burned oatmeal. This was before smoke alarms. A smoke alarm was somebody hollering in the kitchen with opening a window with a towel. Some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. Y'all didn't grow up. I'm just saying. Y'all, anyway, young church don't. Anyway. He said, your servant has killed both a lion and a bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he'll deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. David said, you've got to understand that I have enough context in my relationship with God. What you have to do is you have to get one victory with God to let it turn into a whole bunch of others. When I first got saved, I could use certain cuss words in any sentence, in any context. It was a gift. I went to high school and I had skipped a deal with one of my friends. Charlie is the guy's name. And Charlie walked up and he said, hey man, what'd you do last night? And I slammed my locker. I was so excited about Jesus. I slammed my locker shut. I said, dude, I got blanking saved. And I opened my locker back up. That was me working the combination, by the way. I opened the locker back up, and I put my head back inside my locker. Now, what kind of freak am I? You know what I'm talking about? And I'm like, dear God, please save me again. Right? Because I thought you had to get saved. Like, every time you screwed up, you'd, like, totally lost your relationship with God. And I'm like, giving my life back to Christ. And then I shut. And, like, this doesn't sound like a big deal now. But I tried to go a whole period without using a particular cuss word. My favorite one. Relative to mashed potatoes, cars, books, crayons. I wasn't in the good classes. Okay, I wasn't. Right? Does this make sense? And like that was a challenge. And one day, I never will forget it. One day, I went a whole period without dropping the bomb. And like I came out of English going, and one of my buddies like, what happened? I said, man, I didn't say boop all day. No! Right? Like. But I never will forget. And then one day I went a whole 8 hours of school without cursing. Yeah, I'm not sure, but like all of heaven went, And then I figured out, you know what? I got to go to wrestling practice after school. How do you wrestle and not cuss? I had a soccer coach. He actually lives in this town. His name is Tad. Tad is an amazing guy. Thad, there you go. Thad was my soccer coach. And when I went out there, it was right after I got saved. And I finally had gotten school down, but I hadn't gotten soccer down yet because I was a goalie. And I was out of town. He said, "Hey, man, I heard you're the goalie." I said, "You're blanking right I am." And he's like, "That's a mile." And I said, "What the blank am I running a mile for?" And he said, "That's 2 miles." And I said, "What the blank?" And he said, "There's 3. Are you catching on yet?" And I went, "Yeah." I was the most in-shape guy by the end. I mean, like, literally, I think I went through like 12 pairs of cleats that year. I just wear the stubs off of them. How'd you do that? Just running. But finally, one day he looked at me. And our kids were actually in class together. And he was a younger guy, and he put his arm around me. And he said, "Man," he said, "I don't make you run because I don't believe in you." He said, "I see what God's doing in your life, and you can beat this." But see, one victory turned into another, because if you can go one period, you can go 2 periods without cussing, right? I mean, it's a thing. I didn't try to, like, do it all at once. I just wanted to make 1 period without saying anything bad, right? And then one victory turned into another. So, like, if you've got a problem in your marriage, maybe if you can just, like, if you're fighting 23 hours a day and sleeping one, maybe if you could go, like, 22 and a half, that's a victory. And it's a victory you can build off of. Or, like, maybe when you say, "Where do you want to go eat?" and she says, "Nowhere." And then you say, "Taco Bell." And she said, "I hate Taco Bell." Rather than, like, losing your mind and going, "Well, you just pick something then. You tell me to pick, and then when I pick, you say no." Maybe I'm the only one. Okay, so am I the only one who that's ever happened with? Can I just get a wit? Okay, thank you. I just wanted to feel better about myself. That was a bit of group therapy for me. But my point is maybe your first victory looks like this. "Okay, hon, where would you like to go?" "Oh, I don't care. How about this? How about this? How about Burger King?" "Ooh, I hate there." "Don't blame you." "How about Zaxby's?" "No, I had it yesterday." "How about Chick-fil-A? They're closed on Sunday." "Oh, okay, how about..." But you don't lose your mind. Maybe that's your first victory. Ladies, maybe your first victory is when you open the door to the house. When you went to check the mail and it was clean when you left, or you finished the dirty clothes and all of a sudden your son brings his laundry. I'm just saying, maybe or maybe not this happens at our house. I'm just saying that rather than letting your head spin around on your neck, maybe just like, "You know what, I'm gonna take this as a teaching moment for our child." The same teaching moment we've had 4,862,000 other times. But one day it's going to catch. And I just believe God by faith that I'll see a miracle. My God made me a promise. And it won't stop now. Now see, we sing that song about the big stuff. But God cares about laundry. And then maybe your breakthrough is in the process. Maybe you're killing your Goliath and finding the stuff that fits is taking off the stuff that doesn't fit. Watch this. He goes on, he says, Moreover, David, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion. David said, "Moreover, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he'll deliver me from the Philistine." And Saul said, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." So Saul clothed David with his armor. First of all, why wasn't the king willing to fight? I mean, you can reason it out all you want to, but the real question is why? You're willing to send this little kid to die. I mean, that's what he told him. But you're not willing to go be a man yourself? But really, this is just free. But if you look at the way Saul raised his kids, there's a lot of things he wasn't willing to be a man in. Because I got ready to name this message "Man Up." But then I thought that was exclusive to women. And if I caught a woman up, then the men were checking out like in the first 30 seconds of it. Because see, sometimes you have to do what fits you and what you're called to be. Does this make sense? Can I speak to women just for a minute? If you're a smart lady, just be smart. Don't fight it. Have you ever watched women try to dumb themselves down? Ladies, if you have something important to say, don't let anybody else discount you. My wife's soft-spoken, and sometimes people don't listen to her. So it drives me really crazy. And I look at her and go, you've got to make people listen to you. She's like, if they don't want to hear me, they can go. I've stopped whole meetings to go, say that again. Stop talking. She got something to say. Because my wife doesn't say a lot, but when she says something, it's important. For real. And I'll EF Hutton somebody. Some of y'all, you're not going to get that context. You'll be YouTube. And when it says when EF Hutton talks, people listen. You're going to listen to her because she doesn't say a lot, but what she says have value. You have to be willing to be heard. But sometimes we're so busy fighting what we are, or we're so busy fighting what we think we should be that we won't embrace who we are. It's like this. If you're a smaller lady, be smaller. Rock being smaller. If you're a medium lady, rock medium. If you're a lady who's just always going to be a little bit more than medium, just be it. I'm not saying don't take care of yourself, but I'm just saying don't spend your whole life shadow boxing something that you... Does this make sense? Just be confident. Come on, every man in the house with any wisdom or sense should have jumped on that. Girl, let me tell you something. The number in the back of your clothes does not define your sexiness, but your confidence sure as heck will. That's free. Thank you. Now I could preach a whole... one day I'm going to preach a message just to women. I'm telling you, it's coming. It's coming. So David was smaller and tried to wear big people clothes, and they didn't fit. And big people don't try to wear little people clothes because they won't fit either. Wear what God ordained for you in your personality and in your wardrobe, and that's age appropriate, and in your spiritualness. Ain't nobody amen to me. I stand up here by myself. But you know what? Be who you are. People come up to me all the time and they go, man, you're not like any pastor I've ever met. Sometimes it's a compliment. Sometimes it's an insult. No, for real. You let me show up to a hospital visit like this and try to convince administration I'm a pastor. They ask me for a card. One time I was praying with somebody and I was actually in shorts and I'd been mowing the yard and I got an emergency call and I ran down there and went and prayed for somebody and I looked like mud. I had literally had grass stuck to my head. But you know what? Grass stuck to my head does not dictate the calling that God placed on my life. And my attire is not there to prove who I am to you, but rather to talk to God on one of my people's behalf. Does that make sense? And I walked out and this little nurse looked at me and she goes, honey, I didn't believe you were a pastor when you walked in, but I stood outside this curtain, and I believe one when I heard you pray. Does this make any sense to you? Your anointing will make room for you. But you have to be you, not be somebody else. When I first went in the ministry, I went and bought a preacher suit. You remember them polyester pinstripe blue? I look like John Hagee. And you know what? On John Hagee can be John Hagee, but John Hagee wasn't called to be Adam Bellamy, and Adam Bellamy wasn't called to be John Hagee. And I went tight to my head. I went with the what was it, Happy Days Dad? What was his name? Howard. I went with the Howard hairdo. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And then one time I worked for, and this guy's a great guy, but I worked for a very intelligent pastor. So I tried to use words that I shouldn't use. You've never walked into a church and looked at a bunch of students and used magnanimous? Anyway, I won't tell you what it's like. Watch this. So he put a bronze head. So David put on. So Saul clothed David with armor. He put a bronze helmet on his head, and he also clothed him with a coat of mail, which is, you know, the mail coat. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. You can't walk in what you're not tested in. David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. I'm here to tell you today that you need to take off the stuff in your life that doesn't fit. The stuff that you're trying to be that you were never called to be. When Tracy and I first got married, we talked about what a pastor's wife looks like in a church. And you know, the first thing that if you go and you just look across the board, the first thing we should have done was started a women's ministry. But I've been around church long enough to know how those go. Should the Lord not change our mind, we will never have a ministry just for women. That doesn't mean that we won't speak to women from time to time, but we're not going to meet the first Tuesday of every month to have tea and wear funny hats to look spiritual because everybody else says that's what we're supposed to do. I would rather have a woman that when she takes the mic has something to say than takes the mic out of a habit. I would rather have her freed up to talk to the women in this church than to be a puppet of what everybody else thought she was supposed to be. We have women in our church that do stuff that other people look at and they're like, I can't believe you would do that. And I'm like, good. God's full you can't believes. That would have been another good time to say amen. But anyway, so the point of it is I looked at her and I said, look, you're going to wear what God called you to be as my wife and as a co-pastor of this church. That's what you're going to operate in. Nothing more and nothing less. And if God doesn't lead you to do it, let somebody else do it. Or we're not going to do it at all. And we're going to be okay with that. We have people come in all the time. Well, tell me about your men's ministry. I'm like, well, they're a bunch of men. They show up on Sunday morning with everybody else. And if they're leaders, they lead. Well, men need a chance to talk. Good. They can pick up the phone. Take me to breakfast. Take me to lunch. Meet me for dinner. I will talk to you. Meet me in my office. We'll sweat together. Can I get a witness from any man? We don't need a men's ministry for men's ministry. Look, we live in the 21st century. It's called an iPhone, an Android. Pick it up. I'm available to you 24/7, just about 365. If you need ministry, it's available. We don't need to put a label on it. Does this make sense? Because you put 15 men in the same room, we ain't talking ministry. We are not going to, because I've got mostly type A men in this room. Can I get a witness on that? We are not going to hold hands and sing kumbaya and talk about our feelings. If we talk about our feelings, it's going to be private. And it's going to be discreet. And then when we're done, even if we cry together, we ain't never going to talk about it again. Can I get a witness from somebody? Because the men that generally come here are not, they're just not wired that way. I mean, I'm okay with it. We don't have a lot of, like, sensitive people. I mean, like, for real. If you ever show up for a work day, bring a hard hat. That's all I'm going to say. Because we'll love on you in Jesus' name, but we'll pick on you too because we love you. There was a thing on Instagram that said, my friends are the ones that talk about me to my face but brag about me behind my back. Makes sense? The fellas that I hang out with, man, if I screw up, they're like, come on now, Pastor. Come on, you can raise the dead, but you can't drive a nail. Come on, Pastor. Come on, I love you. I love you, but let's, right? But then they'll go out to everybody else and tell them what an amazing guy I am. And I'll look at them and be like, look, and I'm just going to use Matt because he's on the front row. I'm not saying this anything. If Matt has a struggle in his life, I will call him out on it, and I will ride him, and I'll help him get through it. But then I'll go around to everybody else and tell him what a great man of God he is. Does that make sense? But if you look at Jesus, he did the same thing. He'd bash Peter to his face and then look at the group. Well, sometimes he had to do it in public too, but that was kind of a Peter, the Apostle Peter issue, let's just be honest. But then he built his church on him. But you know what Peter did? Peter learned to be what fit Peter. He didn't try to be Andrew, the introducer. He didn't try to be James and John, the son of thunder. He didn't try to become the third member of thunder. He let them be them. But he became who he was. And they weren't for everybody, but they were for who they were for. Does this make sense? You're not going to be everything to everybody. You have to be who you were created to be to reach the people that God created you to reach. He goes on, he says this. He said, David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. Sometimes we wear attitudes that don't fit. And we wear habits that don't fit because we're trying to be something we were never created to be. Then David took his staff. Then David took his staff. David took his staff, the thing he carried around forever. It was old and it was worn, and if most people looked at it, it was just a stick. But to David, it was his staff. And he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from a brook, which most people believe were one for Goliath and one for 4 of Goliath's brothers, right? He's like, I'll just kill the whole family. Because what happens is once you have one success, you're just willing to go take on everything else in your life. Does this make sense? Failure is contagious, but so is success. And he put him in a shepherd's bag. You know why he put him in a shepherd's bag? Because he was a shepherd. But it wasn't long before that that the prophet came through and told him he was going to be a king. But he wasn't worried about what his end result was. He was worried about the moment he was living in right then. Because see, David understood that if he did what he was supposed to do right there, he'd end up being what he was always called to be. Write that down and marinate on it just a little while. And he put him in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. Here's what I know. I know that there are folks today that came in and they're wearing what maybe they weren't supposed to wear. That they're trying to be something that they weren't supposed to be. And that if you'll just take it off and let God make you what you were always created to be. David was a shepherd. But he was a shepherd that was destined for a king. But until he learned to be the best shepherd he could never be qualified to be the king. The only way you're ever going to have real peace in your life is to be what you're supposed to be in the moment. Because if you can be what you're supposed to be in this moment, you can be what you're supposed to be in this day. And if you can be what you're supposed to be in this day, then you can be what you're supposed to be in this year. And if you can be what you're supposed to be in this year, then you can be what you were created to be for a lifetime. And that means this, that the challenge that you came into church today wrestling with, that instead of running away from it, if you'd figure out how to attack it, you'll figure out how to get through it. Do you know some of the number, and I'm just going to talk to adults for a second, but one of the number one complaints that married people have is about their finances and about their relationship as husband and wife. Pick one of them. I always say start with a relationship because it's the basic building block of everything else in life. If you go back to Genesis, God said it's not good for Adam to be alone. We were never created to do life alone. But if you'll start in the relationships that you have, husbands and wife, if you'll make a focus out of your marriage, everything else will begin to fall into place. Godly relationship. Figuring out how to do marriage the way God intended it to be. And that's not just not cheating on each other and not killing each other. That's learning how to enjoy your life together. And then figure out how to enjoy life with your kids. You're equipped for it. Yeah, but it's so hard. Yeah. That's why you don't get to have kids young. Or why you shouldn't have kids young. Can I get a witness? You know why grandparents are so patient and good? Because they screwed it up the first time. I'm going to be a much better grandparent than I was a parent because I've learned from my mistakes. People used to tell me, man, time flies. And I go, yeah, it sure does. And then the infant I was rocking picked me up. And I said, where did the time go? And did I make the most of it? What about your marriage? At the end of it, are you going to say, I wish I would have invested heavier in my marriage? At the end of your life, are you going to say, I wish I would have taken off all the stuff that didn't matter and really put on my faith? Because I built a great career, but I don't know if my kids are going to make it to heaven. Or go through a divorce and say, you know what, I wish I would have invested more. Because the regret I have is. Does this make sense? And maybe you've already been through those things. Then take off shame and guilt and unforgiveness and choose to put on what you're supposed to wear today. Can I tell you something about a cruise, for non-cruisers? When you put four people in a 186 square foot room, it means you get like three drawers. That's it. That's all you've got. And so I had a beach stuff, and I had dress shoes, and I had the tennis shoes that I wore on, and I had to put all those in and then stack my clothes on top of them. You know, the funny thing about your clothes and your shoes being in the same confined, tight space is they all start to smell the same. So I had a gym bag, and what I would do is when I would take something off dirty, I would throw it in that bag and then shove it under the bed. I'm a guy who, if I don't wear a shirt a ton, I'll hang it up and rewear it. Now, you can judge me however you want to, but if I wear something for 30 minutes, it's not dirty. It doesn't need to go through the laundry. I can wear it again. If I smell that bad, I probably needed a shower before I put it on. Judge me however you want to. But I picked up a shirt. It's one of my favorite shirts. It's a dive shirt. It's cool. It's got like the skull and crossbones. And it says something about diving the Atlantic and writing. It's one of those shirts. You know what I'm talking about? It's like a dude shirt. And I went to put it on the second time, and I got it over my head. And I went, whew. See, some of us have worn our past for too long. We've held on to something that we should have let go through a cleansing process. Yeah, but you don't know what she did to me. You don't want, just wash it. Just make it clean again. Just let it go. Because sometimes not fitting has to do with the stench that it gets. Today, I believe that the Lord wants you to take off some stuff and be what He created you to be. Because you're enough. You're enough not based on how big or small you are, how smart or how unintelligent you are. One of the men that I saw was one of the greatest communicators of the gospel. I was at a conference with him, and I literally watched him lead hundreds and hundreds of people to the Lord. And I looked down at his Bible, and it was a comic book Bible. And I kind of laughed when we were done. I said, dude, did you forget your Bible? And he said, no. He said, I got saved in prison. And I read on a second grade or a third grade level. He said, and that's the only thing that makes the Word of God come to life. He said, and I may not know everything. He said, but I know Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I know what He can do in the life of a convict. And if He can do it for me, he said, I can give that away. And I looked at my big, I carried a Dake's Bible at the time. Y'all may not even know what it is. It's got every reference. It's you make a coffee table out of it. And I looked and I went, you know what, Lord, I'm not doing enough with what you've given me. You use what God's given you and you work it to the fullest and God will do something through it. But if you waste the talent and the beauty of who you are, then you've thrown away part of the masterpiece of your own creation. You receive this today. Father, as we come to close, maybe there's one person in the house today. Maybe there's 10. And you say, you know what? Maybe you're listening online. Maybe you're listening on podcast. But you say, you know what, Pastor? I've never accepted Christ into my heart. Or maybe I accepted Him, but I walked away. If that's you right now, will you just slip your hand up? Just, you know what? I need a new beginning. Or maybe I've never had a beginning and I want one today. Is that you? Thank you. Anybody else? I'm just going to ask everybody under the sound of my voice, will you just pray this prayer with me? Father, today, I ask you to come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Father, today, I take off my unrighteousness. And I put on being right with you. I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe this. I believe that if you prayed that prayer, that you've given your life to Christ and that you're on the beginning of a journey. And your journey is to know and to be as much like Christ as you can. But I also believe that if you're in here today and you say, you know what, I've already given my life to Christ, then we have a mandate to be everything that God called us to be. Not what he called our neighbor to be, or our mama to be, or our hero in the faith to be, but to be what God called you to be. And if you'll do that, you will live a life of fulfillment. And that is not only God's plan, but that's my hope for you today too, that you'll be everything that God created you to be. Do we have anybody visiting with us first time? I'm not going to single them out. I don't think so. No. We're not going to do the visitors thing. Will you do me a favor? Will you just stand to your feet? I just want to pray a prayer of blessing and dismissal over you today. Because I just believe that God has big plans for you. And I just don't want to see the enemy rob that. Father, today I just pray for every person that's here. Father, I pray that you allow them to take off the things that don't matter. And Father, put on the things that you called them to be. God, that they don't have to look like everybody else. But God, they are enough. In Jesus' name. God, they're enough to be the mom. They're enough to be a dad, a good husband, a good wife. God, a business leader. God, whatever their role in life is. God, you made them enough. Father, right now I just ask that you let your spirit well up inside of them, God. That you let it rise up, God, and give them the courage to walk that out. Father, we'll thank you for what you do in their lives and through their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for tuning in to Thrive Church. We hope today's message touched your life. You can share your testimony with us at amen@thrivealamance.com. If you would like to support this ministry financially, you can do so at thrivealamance.com/give.